Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. We're here to talk all things Colorado Avalanche, which of course today means training camp, and more training camp. If any of you have been to Family Sports the last couple of days, it is of course Friday today. The Avs started skating Thursday morning. You'll know quite well that training camp is long. The Avalanche split it up into two groups, and you have the first one starting at 9 a.m., the second one getting done sometime after 1 o'clock, locker room access, Jared Bednar speaking. It's pretty much a 9-to-3 day over at Family Sports these first few days of camp. Obviously, I think within a week, week and a half, we're going to snap our fingers and half the roster is going to be sent down or sent back to their junior teams or released from their amateur tryouts or whatever it may be, going to the Colorado Eagles. So it's going to dwindle down to one group pretty soon here. But today the Colorado Avalanche flipped the script and they had group two get out there early. Group one was the second session. And that group one is the one that has a large majority of the NHLers. That group one is the one with the Drouin, McKinnon, Rantanen line, Miles Wood, Ross Colton, and Logan O'Connor lines. So quote unquote, your first and third lines. It's also the one with the Girard and Makar pairing and the Shillington and Brännström pairing. While the second group has Mittelstadt with Kovalenko and Inala, quote unquote, your second line. Obviously, Kovalenko and Inala getting looks. We'll talk about that more here in a little bit. They're getting looks without the with the absence of both Lekkonen and Nichushkin. And then you got Pierre-Édouard Bellemare centering Joel Kiviranta and Jason Poulin, quote unquote, your fourth line. Josh Manson's playing with Devon Taves, Calvin DeHaan with Sam Malinsky. Obviously, Malinsky, DeHaan, Brännström, and Shillington, those are four guys fighting for two roster spots on defense if everybody's healthy. And, you know, Jared said on Thursday that, Thursday, he made a comment about how Makar and Taves are going to have to learn to play without each other. And a little bit of a joke, but Taves and Manson are a pair. Girard and Makar are a pair. And obviously, I think between now and opening night, we'll see Makar and Taves back together. Now, kicking off the start of the show, I do want to start with one of the guys on the top line. I think it's all pretty straightforward on the Avalanche this year that we know, you know, most of these guys have a roster spot locked up. There's a lot of maneuvering in terms of who's playing in the top six, as well as who's going to be in the lineup. Again, without Lekkonen, without Nichushkin, and even Gabe Landeskog, who they expect back this year. So you'll see guys like a Parker Kelly, a Joel Kiviranta, that if all those guys were healthy, are probably your extra forwards. You'll see someone like Chris Wagner maybe get a shot where if everybody was healthy, Chris Wagner's probably in the American Hockey League. But one of the guys at the top of the lineup is, of course, Mikko Rantanen, who is 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. We've heard a lot this summer about him signing a contract extension. It has not been completed yet, of course. Is it any reason to be nervous or panic? Absolutely not. Not at this point. But I would expect that at some point, it's going to kind of come out of nowhere and Mikko Rantanen is going to become the second highest paid player on the Colorado Avalanche. If not top five, pretty damn close to top five. I think he will be top five in the NHL in terms of the annual average value. Leon Draisaitl's contract kicks in next year, but all things being equal, I think next season, Draisaitl will have the highest salary cap hit at $14 million. Austin Matthews, 13.25. And again, this is for the 25-26 season. Third place, Nathan MacKinnon, $12.6 million. Fourth place, Connor McDavid, 12.5, and then either tied with Connor McDavid or slightly below him, I think Mikko Rantanen is going to round out the top five. So we asked Mikko about his contract talks at the start of camp, which was on Thursday after that first day, and he has some pretty good quotes in there. One of them, business will always take care of itself, and I'm just here to play hockey and get ready for another season. Of course, the typical hockey player speak, here to help my team work, the team win. That's my goal. And then he went on to say, I don't want to talk about it too much, which you probably understand, but I guess my job is to help the team win. He was asked again by one of the other media members about getting his contract done before opening night and if that's something that he wants to do. He kind of shifted away from that answer. I think that's something that obviously his agent probably instructed him to do. But what he did in that in his response to that question was he made it very clear that he is here to stay. And not that we had any kind of second thoughts about that. Mikko Rantanen is a large piece of this core. And him and Nathan MacKinnon are going to play hockey together for a very long time. Longer than, you know, the fact that they've already been together for, you know, almost a decade now. But Mikko Rantanen, when he was asked about getting the contract done by opening night, said, "I will let it handle itself." And then he went on to say, "Obviously, we won the Stanley Cup here. I like the team. I like the city. If you win a Stanley Cup here, then why would I want to leave? That's the only thing I want to say about it. But we'll see. It's done when it's done." I loved that. I just absolutely loved that quote because, you know, we had Jonathan Drouin on Wednesday, and Drouin said, "My family loves it here, and I wanted to be here, and I'm glad to be here." And then Mikko Rantanen said, "I want a cup here. Why would I leave?" And I just thought it was such a Mikko Rantanen quote. It is a great quote. But no contract extension yet. Again, if you ask me where that contract's going to sit, I would say somewhere in the $12 million range. Leon Draisaitl has the same agent representation as Mikko Rantanen. And I think that $14 million deal for Draisaitl made the agent and Mikko himself kind of have a little bit of pause and say, let's get this number up a little bit. Right now we have, I believe it's $11.6 million for Elias Pettersson. I'm 99% sure that is right now currently the fifth highest AAV in the NHL. William Nylander's at 11.5. You got David Pastrnak at 11.25. Artemi Panarin is up there as well with the New York Rangers in that range as well. So right now, Mikko Rantanen in the $9 million range, but I think by the end of this contract, he will be the fifth highest. And if I remember correctly, I'll pull it up now, but I'm pretty sure Artemi Panarin makes a slight bit over the 11.6 that Elias Pettersson makes. So if that's the case, which he does, 11.642857. So correction, Artemi Panarin is currently number five, Elias Pettersson right behind him at number six. Then you have the 11.5 for William Nylander, and it goes from there. If you ask me where I thought the Mikko Rantanen contract would have landed at the beginning of the offseason, I would have said in that 11.75 to 12 range. If you ask me now, I'm going to wipe out any possibility of it starting with an 11. I think it'll be in the 12 to 12.5 range with the idea in mind that there is an internal cap. And luckily for Mikko Rantanen, that internal cap is the third highest cap space in the NHL currently, with Nathan MacKinnon making 12.6. So you can get all the way up to 12.5 and it's within that cap. The funsies NHL players love to fiddle with their jersey number side of me says, screw it. Just sign him to an 8-year times $12 million contract, because 8 times 12 equals 96. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know if that's where Mikko Rantanen wants to be, if he cares much about that, or if he'd like to be a little bit higher. But all that's to say, Mikko Rantanen addressed the salary, addressed his contract talks, and it wouldn't surprise me if, while I'm recording this podcast, the contract extension's announced next week, opening night, the day after opening night. If you guys remember, Devon Taves last year signed his contract extension literally the day after opening night. Maybe it's something that the Avalanche announced shortly into the season. William Nylander didn't sign right away. He signed halfway through the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So again, I don't think it's anything to be worried about, but it is definitely something to keep an eye on for the sole purpose of the fact that it's not done yet. And because it's not done yet, we don't know where it's going to sit. We don't know how it's going to play out. But it would be hard to see a reality where Mikko Rantanen is not re-signing with the Colorado Avalanche. And we'll leave it at that. I think it's pretty safe to say the Avalanche are going to have Mikko Rantanen locked up for another 8 years after this. But obviously, we just got to wait for that contract to be announced. So that's the Mikko Rantanen side of things. Very next on my list of topics today, I did want to talk about one of my favorites, and I miss this guy, and I'm so happy to see him back. And that's one Pierre-Édouard Bellemare. Bellemare is, obviously, it's well documented by now. He's at the Avalanche's camp on a PTO. He played 40 games last year, and Chris McFarland is giving him a shot to earn that fourth line center spot, which again, today and yesterday, he was playing with Jason Poulin and Joel Kiviranta. And Parker Kelly's also getting a look as a center as well. So it kind of, if you go back to those groups, which let me pull this up here, after the Pierre-Edouard Bellemare line with Polin and Kiviranta, the next two lines to keep an eye on are Callum Ritchie centering Liam Foudy and Oscar Olausson. That's two former number one, but first round draft picks by the Colorado Avalanche, along with Jean-Luc Foudy, who was drafted, I believe, early in the third round in 2020. So Callum Ritchie centering the all rookie trying to make an impression line. And then Parker Kelly is centering the very next line between Jason Megna and Ty Felleber. And Parker Kelly is a guy that the Avalanche signed from the Ottawa Senators. I believe he got a 2-year deal. I'm 99% sure it is a one-way deal. He was listed as a winger, but Jared did say on Thursday, and of course it's stuck like that for the last 2 days, that Parker's getting a shot at center. And, you know, it's well documented. The Avalanche had this same situation last year when Ryan Johansson was here. The top three centers were McKinnon, Johansson, and Colton. Of course, now it's Mittelstadt taking that Johansson role. Fourth line center, they didn't have anybody last year. They don't again this year. Last year, it was Freddie Olofsson, Riley Tufte, and there was one more. I forget who it was that were all getting a shot at that center spot. Of course, Chris Wagner had an injury last year before training camp, so I think that kind of wiped the ability to use him as that kind of official fourth-line center guy. Freddie Olofsson ended up winning the spot. He didn't keep it all year. By the time March came around, the Avalanche went out and traded for Yakov Trenin. He finished the year. Of course, he walked in free agency, got a lot of money from the Minnesota Wild. Holy crap. But the Avs are back to square one, and that square one is they signed Parker Kelly to give him an opportunity. They have this young kid named Callum Ritchie. Granted, if Callum Ritchie does make this roster, 19-year-old top scorer in the OHL last year, I don't envision he will be centering the fourth line. That's not where he fits in the lineup. And then, of course, P.E. Bellemare coming in on a PTO. So we talked to Bellemare on Thursday, and he said that he had heard from Chris McFarland about 10 days after the opening of free agency, which, of course, is July 1st. And C-Mac told him, you have a spot here if you want to be here. And with that kind of taken into account, Bellemare did wait it out a little bit to see if he can get an NHL deal, which he didn't. But at the same time, it is a guy that is ready to make his mark on this roster to make the team. 39 years old. He broke his leg last year. He only played 40 games for the Seattle Kraken. Prior to that year with the Kraken, he played 2 years with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Year one was the 21-22 season. Poor guy. He left the Avs after they got eliminated by Vegas in 2021. Jumped over to Tampa Bay. He was on that old veteran line with Patrick Maroon and Corey Perry, only to lose to, as he put it, you motherfuckers, in the Stanley Cup final in 2022. And then 2023, he played 73 games. In 2022, he played 80 games with the Lightning. He averaged 13 minutes and 45 seconds at the age of 37, a career high. You know, it's well documented. We all remember from Bellemare's first stint with the Avalanche. His NHL career started late. He didn't make his mark until pretty dang late into his life. He spoke yesterday about how he used to, up until the age, you know, at age 11, he was skating once a week at a rink in France, doesn't come from a lot of money, didn't have a lot of the tools necessary to make it here. And he was very forward about that. He said, I shouldn't be here. And that's what keeps him going. It's the fact that this kid from France, as he put it, that didn't come from money and didn't come from a real hockey opportunity for him to make an NHL career out of this, is quite impressive. The 2014-15 season, a decade ago, was his first year in the NHL. So his first opportunity to play in the NHL, he was 29. He's made a hell of a mark on every franchise. He was 3 years in Philly before he got selected in the expansion draft by the Golden Knights. And the Flyers sure loved him and didn't want to lose him. In Vegas, he played for 2 years, made that cup final in 2018, came to Colorado, played for 2 years. He wore the A, if you guys remember, the 2021 and the 2020 seasons when the Avs had injuries to their core leadership group. You know, back at then it was Eric Johnson was part of that, Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon. I'm probably missing some other guys, obviously Gabe Landeskog wearing the C, but I'm talking about the A's. Bellemare wore the A in some of the time periods where some of those veterans were out with injury. So the Avalanche really did hold him in high regard. He had a great first year with the Avalanche. 9 goals, 13 assists, 22 points in 69 games. That was the year where it was shortened by COVID. Comes back the next year, scores 9 goals again in 53 games. That was the 56-game season. So he only missed 3 games, but he only had 2 assists and then went on to Tampa Bay where he was again that first year, 80 games, 13.45 per game. He was a plus 24. So with the Kraken last year, 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points. He was playing 9.50 per game. He breaks his leg. He comes back from this leg injury and was not ready to call it a career. He wanted to see if there was something out there for him. And he's just such a delightful guy to talk to. When we walked up to him, one of the veteran media guys in the Avalanche dressing room said, "Welcome back. How are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing amazing, and I feel amazing to be back here." Just the most positive kind of guy, just a very thankful guy. When we asked him about, how serious he's taken this opportunity, what he feels of this opportunity, he said, "I'm still here. I'm one of the first guys on the ice. I still want it. I always say to my mom that the day I stop learning is the day I'll stop playing. And it has nothing to do with the money. I'm having a heck of a lot of fun." He went on to talk a little bit about his upbringing. And when he was asked about retirement, he said it was a thought 2 years ago after his second year with Tampa. That's where he dropped the money quote, the year after I lost to you motherfuckers in the cup final. But he wanted to take another go at it. He went to Seattle and he's very, very in tune with reality and says, I understand I'm 39 years old and I only played 40 games last year. Yes, I broke my leg, but in this world, it's all about how many games did he play? If I was 25 years old and I played 40 games, that would be fine. But at 39, it's like, can he even still play? He ended it off with one of my other favorite quotes. "I'm healthy and I'm willing to show them that I'm hungry and can help a team. And that's why I'm here." So Pierre-Edouard Belmar, when he talked about his conversation with Chris McFarland, it sounded more like C-Mac wants him here. He wants him to be that 4C, but he just wanted to make sure he still got it. Bednar has been very complimentary of Belmar's game these last couple days. And I think pending any kind of, something crazy happening, Belmar getting hurt, somebody else completely eye-opening and taking over that 4C spot, or Belmar just losing what he's done so well the last couple of days. Assuming none of those things happen, I think Pierre-Edouard Belmar is going to be on the Avalanche's opening night roster, and I think he deserves to be there. He's a guy that 39 years old is a great talker, a great leader. He's a very great personality to have in the room. Chatted with Logan O'Connor today, and he was so happy to have Belmar back. And Belmar yesterday talking about the McKinnons, the Mikos, the Kales, the Devons, the Logans. He's so happy to see these guys again, and that familiarity has helped him too. So for P.E. Belmar, I'm rooting for that guy. I think he's going to really take a big step if he makes his team into that leadership role. If he takes the next step and makes the team and is a guy that is playing pretty much every night next season, I think he's going to take that step and into that leadership role that Andrew Cogliano has left behind of being the go-to for media after games, always willing to talk, whether after a victory or more importantly, after a loss, and being very honest and forward with us about how he felt the game played out. So moving on from P.E. Belmar, their belly bumps, I do want to move on to that Casey Mittelstadt line. I did mention it earlier, and I do want to talk about it. No Arturi Lehkonen, no Val Nichushkin. Those are the two guys that would 100% be playing in the top six, most likely with Casey Mittelstadt, had they both been available and healthy for Lehkonen's case. Without them, without Gabe Landeskog ready yet, and with the idea in mind that Jared Bednar wants Colton O'Connor and Wood to remain together like they were last season, we're seeing two other guys get an opportunity with Casey. And do I think both of these guys are going to start opening night in the top six? Probably not. But I do think one of them has a really big chance. We have Yuri Inala, 26 years old from Finland. And we have Nikolai Kovalenko, just a notch below him in terms of age, who was playing in the KHL last year. And as we all remember, shout out to Evan Rowell of Colorado Hockey Now for covering the hell out of his season in the KHL and his arrival in Denver. The 24-year-old who will be 25 in less than a month came in and played a couple playoff games and then just kind of sat in the room and didn't really do much, but was able to be around the team. He's got a full training camp under his belt. He's now had a full offseason of training here with the Avalanche and preparing for his first full year in the NHL. Jared spoke today about both of those guys. Specifically, Kovalenko, he said, was outstanding on the ice today. And when speaking about Jiri Inala, the 26-year-old that the Avalanche also signed, the Finnish forward, coming over for his first opportunity in the NHL, for both of those guys, Jared did talk about how he holds them to a higher standard. Inala was born in 1998. He's pretty much Cale Makar's age. In fact, I believe he's a little bit older than Cale in terms of months. And the reason why that's important is because this is a guy that has played professional hockey. He's been playing for Frölunda in the Swedish Hockey League. Last year, 16 goals, 12 assists, 28 points. In the playoffs, 11 goals in 14 games. The year before that, 26 points in 52 games. He played in the Finnish Liga the year before that. He's played for a world championship internationally for Finland pretty much every single year, dating back to 2017-18 when he was on the world junior team. He's got a lot of experience playing pro hockey. So he's held to a high standard. He's here to make the NHL. He's here to try to make the Colorado Avalanche, obviously with the idea in mind that he might play with the Eagles too. And then there's Kovalenko, which again, well-documented. The Avalanche drafted him in the later rounds many, many years ago. He's been the KHL. He finally got over this past year. And this is a guy looking to be a staple of the Avalanche's lineup for years to come. Jared spoke about holding him to a higher standard because they had played in professional leagues before this, because they're 24, almost 25. And for Inala's case, 26 years old. These are not kids. These are not 18, 19 year olds. These are not even Jean-Luc Foudy and Oscar Olausson, who are in their low 20s and still itching for an opportunity, given the fact that they've been drafted by this team for now 3 and 4 years. These are guys that are looking to make the roster. These are guys that are veterans. They're actually both right around the age of Casey Mittelstadt. And Jared's given them the opportunity for that reason to be in the top six. So do I think both of them will be there when the season gets going on October 9 in Vegas and then at Ball Arena on October 12 against the Columbus Blue Jackets? Probably not, but I could see one of them. The one that sticks out to me more right now is Nikolai Kovalenko. I think you'll see Kovalenko playing up there with Casey Mittelstadt. And to be honest with you, if Callum Ritchie doesn't make this team and if Inala does well, I think he'll be the other guy on the wing. Because again, you don't want to break up the O'Connor with Wood and Colton line. They were so good for the Avs and we saw how much they missed Logan O'Connor when he was out. Granted, Logan O'Connor is also Jared Bednar's safety net. That's a guy that he trusts immensely to bring him up into the lineup when needed. And that's a guy that could step into the top six if needed, if one of Inala or Kovalenko, it seems like they're in over their heads. So those are the main things that have stuck out to me for camp so far. Update on the new guys. Brännström's here. Calvin DeHaan's here. They're doing well. But there's also Oliver Shillington, who Jared explained it as he had a tough immigration day coming in on Wednesday. And when he arrived, his gear did not. It is now Friday. It's almost 4 o'clock PM Mountain Time and his gear's still not here. So on Thursday, on the first day at camp, Shillington skated alone with Arturi Lehkonen before the main group. Lehkonen, of course, is skating in a red non-contact jersey, getting his reps in like he was for so long during the captain skates. So Shillington joined him with new gear to break in the gear. And then Jared said on Thursday, whether his gear arrives or not before Friday morning, he will skate. And he did. He was in that group today. He was skating with Erik Brännström. And then we spoke to him after and he talked about the immigration issues he had. He was stuck in a hotel in Canada for a couple of weeks trying to get over here. And he got here and his gear didn't. And he said, the lesson I've learned from these last couple of weeks is patience. I've learned to practice patience And I can't even imagine how tough it is to have to deal with that when you're ready to join a new team, make an impact, and earn a roster spot. So Shillington's already got a little bit of the deck stacked against him, even more so now, but he's looking to make the most of this opportunity. So it was nice to see him out there. Hell of a guy. He is a Swedish defenseman. He said, heading into his decision to sign with the Avalanche, Gabe Landeskog spoke with him quite a bit. He's known him for several years. He also knows a little bit about Erik Brännström, obviously the Swedish connection, but that's it. He doesn't know anybody else on this team, but he's going to get to know him here real soon. I personally think Shillington will earn one of those first two spots. I personally think opening night will be Shillington and Brännström, and Calvin DeHaan and Sam Malinsky will be on the outside looking in. Is that going to be for the full season? No. Is that saying Sam Malinsky's not going to play? No. Calvin DeHaan? No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for opening night, I genuinely think unless Shillington can't get up to speed, you know, arriving late in Denver and not getting much of a chance to skate with the captains like the other guys did, unless that was to happen, I do think Shillington and Brännström will earn those spots for October 9, and then all bets are off after that, obviously. You know, if an injury happens, knock on wood, it doesn't, to a Sam Girard, a Josh Manson, things like that, you know, you'll see three guys in the lineup opening night. Maybe one of Shillington or Brännström get hurt, you'll see DeHaan or Malinsky step in. But I think he's got a spot on this team, and it was nice to see him today. Nice to get to know him. And I'm really excited to see what he can do. First training camp, first preseason game is on Monday here, I believe in Denver, at Ball Arena. And I'm going to double check that here on my cell phone. The Avalanche host the Dallas Stars Monday, September 23rd. And then they got the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th before they travel Friday of next week to Dallas for their second preseason game. So I expect between now and next Friday, at the conclusion of next Friday's game in Dallas, this training camp roster will be trimmed way the hell down. So with that being said, the Avs will be back on the ice Saturday. They will prepare for that first preseason game. I'm excited. We're right there. Season's right around the corner, and I'm excited for a very long season. Like I said, in the next coming days, and you know, leading up to about a Monday or Tuesday, there are a lot of updates coming about my coverage of the Avalanche this season that I'm super excited for. And you'll see those posted on Twitter/X, whatever we call it these days. So I'm really excited for that. This is my sixth season on the beat, and I'm just so pumped to take this next step. And one of them is this podcast. Ringside with Arif Dean is the new name. We have a placeholder logo. We'll have another one soon. And we're going to be live quite a bit. We're going to have some guests. I'm working on getting an Avalanche player in here to sit in this chair next to me here in the coming weeks. And I'm so excited for you guys to follow along. So what I will say is this. If you are a listener, if you're on live right now, Ringside with Arif Dean, look it up on Spotify. I was going to say Google Podcasts, but that doesn't exist anymore. So whether it's Spotify, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's one of the many, many, many podcatchers out there, search Ringside with Arif Dean, hit the subscribe, give me a 5-star rating. If you truly have been a listener for a handful of years or are familiar with my work, I would love to see not just a 5-star review, but some comments on why you like this show. Those numbers helping me make this show bigger, to get more of the players on, to bring more content over to you. I'm so pumped for this season. It's been a whirlwind of a summer. For those that follow me on Twitter, I did get engaged in June, and my wedding is in less than 60 days. So sometime in the middle of mid-November, when Valeri Nichushkin is clear to return, assuming he hits the 6-month mark precisely, I will be out in Detroit, Michigan for my wedding, followed by a honeymoon, followed by a return to work in that late November timeframe, shortly after Thanksgiving. And then you'll probably see me back at my first Avalanche game on December 7 in Detroit. So it's going to be a chaotic next couple months, but I couldn't be more excited for it. You know, a lot changing in my life, but specifically hockey's back. So pumped for it. So please follow along. Like I said, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, tell me what you like and dislike. Shoot me some tweets. Shoot me some DMs. Let me know what you like about the show. Let me know what you'd like to see me change. If there are any segments you like, if there's any certain kind of questions or routes you want me to take with players, always happy to hear from the audience. So with that, I'm going to call it an end here. If you made it this far in the show, bless your pretty little hearts. Talk to you guys soon. See you later.